Welcome. I think we have a great show this week. It's all about Prism. It's one of the hottest topics out there, and deservedly so. It's pretty cool. This week, we interview Patterns and Practices team members David Hill and Bob Brumfield. I say we because Sean Wildermuth was also there. He asked a couple of questions, and he also answers a couple of questions.
So let's talk about when to use Prism. You know, it's out there, it's available, people can download it, but it's optional. So how do they make the call as to when to use it?
So we get asked this question a fair bit. And so some of the patterns in Prism, you'd only really get the benefit from them if you're building something reasonably substantial. So when we built Prism, we had a bunch of folks on our advisory council. And they tended towards the kind of medium, large-sized businesses who were building line-of-business-style applications. So it fits very well in that space. If you're building something that's very heavy media and a game, for example, in Silverlight, or something that's kind of a social web kind of application, it probably wouldn't fit there. Although some of the patterns might help you. But really, it's kind of sweet spot of those line-of-business-style applications.
So is there sort of a tripwire that we can cross and we'll know, okay, we're in Prism territory, we should be using Prism, right? Because Prism, amazing technology though it is, it's not right for examples, right? Like when you're writing samples in front of a class, you'll never get through the bootstrapper, right?
Right,
well,
right.
You might get through that, but you see my point.
Yep.
So is there any more concrete, you know, you hit 500 lines of code, is there something we can look at there?
I think it's a difficult metric because there's a lot of gray lines there. Because I like to think of Prism more as a set of services than a framework, because in a lot of ways it's a buffet. It's a buffet of individual pieces you can use instead of, oh, I have to use regions, I have to use the event aggregator, I have to use this stuff. In that way, it's not that important. So some of the stuff like being able to compose from modules or the modularity stuff is really useful in Silverlight once you get more than a couple modules because of the ability to build it across the wire, which is one of the things that it's really good at. If you're dealing with larger teams, you know, even if the lines of code aren't necessarily that big, but they're building things sort of discreetly, Prism becomes pretty natural because you can have someone work on a smaller piece of the application without having to have the solution with 45 modules in it in order to build and run every time.
So I'm curious, would that be what you naturally reach for first in terms of the things you can use from Prism?
It's difficult because it really matters the space. I think when I try to teach Prism in on our course, I'm teaching the silos, and there are places where they overlap and where they touch each other, certainly. But understanding the services it's giving usually becomes fairly obvious of where you're supposed to use them. Like event aggregations is a good one. If you're going to build an application that's fairly loosely coupled, at some point you're going to need two of these loosely coupled people to talk to each other, and event aggregation becomes a natural thing. Oh, I'm about to build that. Oh, wait, it's already there. I'm going to need a way, instead of inventing some way to do that sort of disconnected or that loosely coupled communication. And so that's why I like to talk about it much more as a set of services than a framework. It's not like, if people are familiar with CAB, which is kind of the predecessor, that was kind of an end-to-end solution, whereas Prism is much more of a, like I said, a buffet.
Right. So we designed it to be a lot more consumable in pieces, and so that you could take sections of stuff if you wanted the decoupled communication, right? If you wanted just to use that, or you wanted to use regions, you could do those fairly independently, or just even modularity. So you can take pieces of Prism even if you don't take the whole thing, but we do tend to align it around when you have multiple teams needing to work in an app space, or you want to just logically separate things and be able to load stuff back up, then you have to have some kind of composability story, you have to have some way to break that down, then Prism starts to make more and more sense. So if you find yourself trajectorying that way, then I think Prism starts to make sense. But I don't know that there's not one metric, I would say. You might know where you want to go, so it might make sense to start with Prism. It might make sense to start with pieces of Prism as opposed to all of it. A lot of people like modularity. They just want, I want something for managing modules and loading them up dynamically, but I don't necessarily want to do the composition right now. I have other things I'm trying to accomplish. So
how about this as a first step? Like if you're a newbie to Prism, and you want to figure out if Prism can help you, learn about the individual modules, and then that tells you almost by definition what you're going to need?
that's a decent place to start, but
I mean, I'm trying to find the angle of like somebody's new to Prism, right? When do I know when to use it, right? Like, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem.
It is, because the point at which you recognize you need it, it's you have to go back and probably reorganize some things, right? Because what happens, right, is you often get a departmental app, right? That grows up, and then suddenly you, let's just add one more thing to it, and just add one more thing, and the next thing you know, you have all these things that are much more tightly coupled than you'd like. And you go, boy, if only I had started with Prism. Well, or maybe not Prism, but at least if I had followed good patterns of clearly separating some of the concerns and keeping things a little more isolated and finding ways to communicate between those that didn't force me to couple those, I think you would have been happier with the results. But like I say, you don't know that until you're probably there and have looked back. So you almost, as somebody who hasn't built a composite app, it's hard to maybe recognize that point of I've had one too many modules or one too many new features to this going back. So I don't know that it's hard for me to say for a newbie that there's one demarcation point you want to do it. But if you find yourself adding another piece of functionality and you find yourself tying it closely to other things, I think maybe you should stop and a point to consider going, okay, do I need to be doing this? Is there something else I could look at doing?
Right.
I think maybe a good rule of thumb is if you're doing something that you're very interested in having a unit test approach, testability is important to you, then Prism has some patterns to support that. If you're very interested in building something that you want to be flexible going forward so that you can add functionality over time, then Prism should be interesting. If you're interested in reuse...
So you're describing almost all applications, right? Like, what's left out?
Of a certain size,
Of a certain size. And reuse is also another good reason. Again, if you're building something that you want to reuse in the future, then building it in the right way the first time round is invariably better than the alternative, right? And then there's also the team development. If you have a project that's big enough, so you have multiple teams and you want to allow them to make progress independently and have a loose coupling so that they can all deliver, maybe on different schedules, but all deliver certain pieces of functionality that you want to stitch together, then again, Prism might be a good... So if you're not building anything in those four areas, then maybe Prism isn't what you're looking for.
Well, in the Severlite space, there's two really juicy bits of Prism that I think many, many applications, maybe much more than maybe in the WPS space. One is where you have a Silverlight app that you don't want to have the giant zap that loads. You want to really pull it over the wire as needed, or even just in the background as soon as it loads. Prism has the modularity stuff in Prism really allows you to build at the zap level, pulling over zaps that contain one or more modules. And that stuff makes building a large application in Silverlight really easy. And you can imagine the same story for if you need authorization of modules. So I come in and I'm low level, so I'm only going to get the address book and maybe the data entry piece. So I may get the catalog from the server based on my rules, and that's going to tell me what modules I'm going to be allowed to pull from the server. So you never have that giant app and then have to manage that. It becomes this fairly external piece. Both of those are really big wins, really easy wins for Silverlight. Because people have already written a lot of custom code to kind of do this, solve this problem, pulling zaps or DLLs over the wire. And the way they've implemented it is perfect for, it really doesn't require that much structure to get some of those really great benefits.
So the only thing I would add to that is that there is a learning curve, right? I don't want to give the impression there's no learning curve.
Right.
So there is still some investment of time to spend time understanding how modules are broken up and if you're going to do regions, how regions get composed. So people do have to be somewhat thoughtful about entering into this too, right? So for people doing the demo apps, still probably doesn't make sense, but for people who are doing, are likely to be turning into a more complicated app, just recognize there is a little bit of investment to do this, but certainly not as heavy as CAB. It's not nearly as complicated. We intentionally tried to make it a lot simpler. So,
it's also of interest there is for developers that aren't used to or want to kind of understand why inversion of control or dependency injection matters. Understanding why, like the modular or the composition pieces in Prism, makes it very stark why you would want this, because it kind of implies that loose coupling. That people coming to IFC or DI for the first time. This is a good example, because most of the examples out there are like, well, you just want to be able to compose these things loosely with no real good why. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. represents a great way to kind of learn both technologies at once.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 2 or Silverlight 3, go ahead and check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's our company where we do consulting and mentoring services for both Silverlight 2 and Silverlight 3. If you're interested in Silverlight training, see the Silverlight Tour, where I'm also an instructor.